email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you wouldn't normally put our next two guests together, but for one night only, they're joining forces with some of Ireland's top musicians to raise money for Rock Against Homelessness and aid of Focus Ireland. Sister Stan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Lyra, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm not now saying this just for saying it. I mean this. You are two of my favourite women in Ireland.
Woohoo! Aren't we the lucky ones?
No, but Sister Stan knows that already, Lyra. But we've never met, but I've been a fan from afar.
Thanks,
so it's great to finally meet you. I'm a big fan of your work. I think you're an amazing singer, and I'm just waiting for your world domination, which is
it's going to happen eventually.
So when is the gig? Is it? It's Friday. It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Yes. Yeah. There's been a big lead up to this, hasn't there, Lyra?
It has. You know, we've had amazing support. We've had people talking about it, writing about it, putting up photos of two of us. I nearly got a shock, two of us in the front of the newspaper. I was like, look at us, go girl. So it's been amazing. I'm delighted to be headlining the event. Yeah. I think it's an amazing cause. And you know what? Everyone knows I've a loud voice and I'm singing. So it's about time I put that into action with something else. And what a better cause than Focus Ireland. So thanks everyone for having me.
And you've only recently met this amazing woman, Lyra.
I did, yeah. I know. I was thinking maybe we should both get matching outfits for tomorrow night. I have a second pair of tie-high boots out the back. I might have to whack them on her.
I'll leave that hanging in the air there for a moment. How are you, Stan? How are you?
I'm good. Very good, Ray. Yes, thank God. For my age. I'm good for my age.
Yeah. This is an annual thing, and these events are not only important for raising money, but also raising awareness, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's very important. Raising awareness is as important as raising money, because you have to all the time keep it before people, remind people that homelessness is a big, big problem in Ireland and getting worse. Mm. I mean, it's really bad. I'm a long time, I'm 40 years working in this area now, and I've said this before, I've never, ever seen it so bad. I never could imagine it would be so bad.
Yeah.
Because when I started, the numbers were small, but there were people homeless. The first thing I did research on the nature and extent of homelessness among the women. And that was really new, because people didn't believe there was homelessness among women. They thought there were men, down and out men, who drank a lot and wouldn't work. But the research showed that there were women. And we started then Focus Point, which was a small organisation working with a small number of homeless women. And very quickly it became a big organisation, because the need... The need was great, but still it was small until, I suppose, that was 85, Focus Point started. And there were a number of homeless, there were young people becoming homeless, but there were houses, Ballymun Flats were there. So we could house people when we helped people, but there were some people who needed more than housing, they needed support because they had mental health needs or some other needs. But that went on in the beginning. And that was good work, and we were managing to house people. Then by the end of the 80s, the government stopped providing social housing. They handed it over to the private sector. They said, now, you provide the housing. We're not going to do it anymore. So the private sector weren't a bit interested in providing housing for people who couldn't afford to buy. So the waiting list started to increase. And that was 89, 90. And each year we'd have an annual thing, and I would be saying, the numbers are increasing. They've increased year upon year upon year. So the numbers of homeless people were greater. And not only that, but they were waiting longer.
Yes.
And then their other problems emerged.
And what you say there about keeping it in the news, because at the end of March... it was all over the place, because there was big talk about the eviction ban being lifted on the 1st of April, which it was lifted. Mm-hmm. And then there's been radio silence. I suppose there will be another round of interest in it when the figures for April come out.
Exactly.
When will they be out?
We don't know.
No, right.
Soon, we hope.
And the predictions are that they're going to be the worst ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're bad enough as is. There's nearly 12,000 people homeless, 11,900 or something. And over 3,500 children homeless. Now, that's the highest it's ever been so far. And because they're lifted the eviction ban, and that will mean a lot more people will have been evicted. And people are living in terror of being evicted. It's awful.
And of course, back in the 80s, there was very little inward migration into Ireland. So now in the last year, for example, 65,000 Ukrainians, and we still have people seeking asylum asylum here as well. And that's putting a lot of pressure on the housing situation. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's difficult, but it's a different problem. And I think we could keep them separate. I mean, we should be able to cater for our own people, you know, and we should be able to offer asylum and a home to people who, like the Ukrainians and people from different parts of Africa. We should be able to keep them separate. And we could. We could if we wanted to. I mean, it's the fact that we have so many of our own homeless is our own fault.
Yeah, we shouldn't be here.
We shouldn't be here. No. I mean, it's scandalous.
Yeah.
It's scandalous. I mean, you can imagine all those children homeless living in B&Bs and living in hotel rooms. I mean, small children who can't even learn to stand or to crawl or to walk because there is space. I mean, those kind of things. They can't do their, if they're going to school, they can't do their lessons. And we're talking about hundreds of children.
And you say every time, and this is important, that we remind people about this, we have no idea the negative effect that this is going to have on them long term.
Oh, no, we have no idea. We only know that it can't be good.
No, well, it's going to be negative anyway, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and we have as many, in fact, in the north of the inner city, there's about 1,000 children homeless, would you believe? Because they're in bed and breakfast in hotels and they're going to schools and the confusion and some children have to travel to school. Mm-hmm. It's all just awful. I can't even find words to describe how awful and wrong. It is just wrong.
We have to find hope, and I'm holding your book here, your latest book, Finding Hope, where you sent a letter to people asking them where they found hope in their lives. And I suppose, you know, I can now throw it back at you, and as opposed to send you an email or a letter, I just ask you out straight, where do you find hope in your life?
Well, I suppose my faith gives me hope. Mm. You know, I believe that God will provide, and that, you know, that providence is overall. So the faith for me would be a big thing. The other thing that gives me faith when I look at the homeless situation is, so I think I said this to you before, St. Augustine said that Hope had two lovely daughters. One was anger and one was courage.
Right.
So it makes me very angry, but also I have the courage to do something about it. So the two of them together gives hope. Uh-huh. So that's what I feel. You have to be angry. I mean, it just gets to your head. But then having the courage to, if I was able to do nothing about it, and if I didn't see people around me who are doing a lot about it, then I think I wouldn't have hope. Mm. But it's that seeing great people and seeing people are like you.
Lyra, yes.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just giving up your time to do this, so that really gives great courage and great hope. So there's that happening.
Where do you get your hope from, Lara?
I know it actually sounds a bit ironic now because we're talking about obviously homeless, but I find a lot of hope when I'm at home. That's where it is for me.
Bandon.
Like, that's the one. When I'm at home, I feel like I can take over the world. It's my safe place. It's where it gives me courage. It's where I'm, I suppose, really, truly me. Mm. And that's where it is. Because otherwise, you're on the road, you're in crap touring vans all the time, and you can lose yourself and you can lose hope and you can lose your identity and you can be nervous and be scared about your future. But the second I hit the foot in that front door to where my family is, that's me.
I'm sure meeting Sister Stan and dealing with Focus and in the lead up to tomorrow night's gig about homelessness, that you've appreciated more what you have.
Massively. And I've learned so much more. Like the second I got the email to ask if I would participate in this, I was an automatic yes from what I at that time, very little knew about what was going on. And now that I've been through it and, you know, this isn't our first time hanging out, by the way, Ray.
It's not our first time here. I've seen the photos.
I've been educated a lot by this woman. And hearing the shocking stats that I'm hearing, and it's mainly as well the children for me. My sister, you know, has started our very first family in, like, little ones, two-year-olds and a four-year-old. And just that just brings shock and horror to my heart. So now even more, I'm like on my social media trying to educate other people that, like me, didn't know at the start. I'm going to get up there tomorrow night and they're going to have the best 45 minutes of their lives, and I'm going to leave everything on that stage. And, you know, I do think there is a few tickets left. People, not just for me, for Ireland, come out.
Yes.
Let's have a great night. You get to celebrate. You get to donate an amazing cause. Let's do it together.
Stan, like, hope is there, anger and courage. But as you said at the start, it's over 40 years now that you've been you've been working away and praying away, and the situation's getting worser and worser, as they say. And how do you reconcile that in your head?
I suppose I can't really.
No.
You know, because, you know, it's very disturbing and it's very upsetting. And especially, as you were saying, you're thinking of your sister with three little children. And when you think of that, and then you think of small children, and three small children that are homeless and that are in a small hotel room living their whole life. Mm. I mean, it is upsetting.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. It's upsetting, and it makes me angry. And for years, we've been saying, look, this is going to be disastrous. This is a disaster. Every year, the numbers were increasing. And it's quite amazing that you watched it grow before your eyes, but you were powerless except to keep identifying, and yet nothing was done about it until now.
Well, I remember you and Peter McFerry, the in here for the 2016 general election, where homelessness was a huge, it was huge. It was in all the debates and everyone was talking about it. And we thought then, which is 7 years ago, that this was the time. For the first time, people were talking about homelessness on the doorstep. So when politicians came a knocking, people were saying, what are you going to do about homelessness? People who had homes were asking for other people, which was a big shift, wasn't it?
It was a big shift.
Yeah, and we thought that that's going to make a difference now. Politicians will see that this is something that will get them votes. And yet, here we are 7 years on. Now, there's little bits of developments here and there, but you're at the coalface. There doesn't seem to be enough been done.
No, there isn't enough. There isn't enough. And I mean, there a lot more could be done, can be done, and has to be done.
Mm.
So we have to keep on knocking at the door, keep on shouting about it. The politicians are much more vocal now about it because, I mean, they see it and they hear it all the time. But they have to be more than vocal. Mm. We want to see a lot more done with sites that are not used, with houses that are not used, with local authority land that could be used. We have to see a lot more action, real action, and see, and also look at the kind of housing we want. I mean, can we have rapid housing? We should be doing everything possible to help people out of homes.
Yes.
They're talking about now having 9,000 houses built by next year. We hope they will. By this year, the end of this year, we hope they will. But we kind of feel they must prioritise the people who are homeless. You know, we should prioritise families, for example. And we should prioritise people who are homeless. And in that way, reduce the people that are homeless. There are still people who are housing lists, you know, but the people who are in right now homeless, they should be our first priority. First priority.
Do you think you'll see it in your lifetime, Stan?
Well, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope so. The woman that lived to 109.
Yourself and Maureen Hughes. Yeah. She's a great woman, isn't she?
She's a great woman.
I love that because she was asked, you know, there was She was telling the story about when she, did you know this, this Ireland's oldest woman, Maureen Hughes, she celebrated her birthday during the week.
Wow.
And she was given an interview and she was talking about the nursing home she's in, which is in Chapel Izzet. I think it's St. Mary's Nursing Home, or Mary's in the title anyway. When she was a kid, she was walking past it when they were building it. And they asked the young fella, what are they building? And he said, I think they're building a home for rich owl ones, right? And then and somebody said to her, are you a rich owl one? And her response, which was brilliant, she says, well, I'm rich in the company that I keep.
Mm.
Lovely. Wasn't that lovely?
Lovely.
Yeah.
She's an extraordinary woman.
Extraordinary woman. Mm. Extraordinary woman, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
So tomorrow night, tickets still available. Rock Against Homelessness, in aid of Focus Ireland. And you're there, Lyra. And you're getting emails from other people as well. Pink's people, Hyde Park.
I am, yeah. She wasn't available. Now, tomorrow night, I did try and hit her up. I was like, would you come down? Would you come down? Give
you know,
us one of your
you know Pink, Stan? She's a global
yeah,
star.
I know. Yeah, her,
she's
yeah.
amazing. Yeah.
And Lyra's going to be supporting her in Hyde Park.
Yeah, wonderful.
Which,
yeah.
Is,
yeah.
which is big yeah. news, yeah. big news. Yeah,
yeah, yeah it's yeah. going to be exciting. I mean, it's a big stage. She's a big performer herself.
Yes,
I'll
yeah.
have to up the outfit, multiply by 2,000%. But sure, we'll get there. Fake it till you make it, Ray. Just keep going.
Sister Stan, back and singer.
Exactly.
Oh, it's great.
Will they tease you? Will they get you out tomorrow night? No, 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 no.
Well,
no.
I can't go, actually.
Past your bedtime.
But I'm not sure I'd fit in.
You'll be there in spirit. You'll be there in spirit and wishing them well. Yeah.
I will.
How many years is it going now, Stan?
Is it 8?
8 years, yeah. right? Yeah,
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the Independent has been supporting us for eight years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it's great because people should know that 40% of Focus Ireland's actual funded money comes
from this night.
Okay. Like, it's from this night.
It's a big night.
Night.
It's a big night for them.
Yeah.
It's a big night for them.
So,
yeah.
It,
yeah.
you know, that's massive.
Okay.
It is. Great.
Tell us who else is on the...
So, we have Amy, we have Bobby Arlo, Jack O'Rourke's going... Isaac Butler's going. There's loads of us. It's
yes.
going to be a great night of loads of different types of music. So even if you're not into me, there'll be someone on the lineup that you will love.
Right,
so come down.
Right. So you'll come back in and sing for us sometime, won't you?
I will, of course.
You will.
I'll bellow away here in
yeah.
a minute.
Stan, great to see you.
You too.
So
Rich.
So
thank you for
there was
you.
There was Finding Peace, was it? Finding Hope.
Yeah, you wrote for Finding
yes,
Peace.
Yeah, and you're planning a third one, are you?
Yeah,
What's the?
It might be gratefulness.
Gratefulness.
Finding
gratitude. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
important.
Right.
They say that in all the books, don't they? That it's important that we appreciate what we have.
That makes us happy.
Yes.
When we're grateful, we're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think the opposite, that when we're happy, we're grateful, which is the opposite, actually. When we are grateful, it does give us a...
It gives us a warm feeling.
It does,
yeah.
does.
I want to talk to you sometime about happiness, because yeah. I think this search... This quest for happiness is
yeah.
making us sad.
It's
because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we it's not achievable all the time.
No.
Anyway, for the moment, I'm very thankful and appreciative that both of you came in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for
Sister
having
Stan,
us.
Great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Mind yourself and good
yeah.
luck tomorrow night,
thanks
Lara.
Thanks a million, Ray. Thanks so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.